Welcome, welcome to the Lifting Lindsay podcast. Today we are going to be talking about, does your menstrual cycle affect your strength? And should women be changing their training type and basing it around different phases in their cycle? And I've watched this idea kind of come and go over the past few years. And a recent study, it was a meta-analysis of 22 studies. This was published in this year, January of 2024. And man, these studies bring heat. Now, I think the presentation of these of this meta-analysis hasn't always been done well. Menno is a pretty popular guy on Instagram. He's a researcher. He posted the menstrual cycle still doesn't affect strength. New meta study confirms. I think it was a blanket statement. That statement in and of itself, I could see getting a rise out of some females because it failed to actually cover what the study said and bring in the nuance of what the study said, and which the study did recognize that there were some women who experienced it, but on average, we're not seeing any effects on, well, not any. On average, we're not seeing a majority of women's strength being affected. And this really brought out I wanted it to be a healthy discussion, but it just brought out a bunch of angry people. What was fascinating about it as I looked through the comments and stuff is the amount of individuals that didn't actually understand the science behind the idea and the theories of it affecting women's strength. There was a lack of education of even what part of the cycle strength was affected. And I was thinking, man, if we were all educated a little bit more on our own cycles and on the fact that we're all individuals, this wouldn't be threatening for us. This could actually have just been a really good discussion, but instead it turned into just kind of a messy little thing. So that's my way of saying it, a messy little thing. In fact, one woman was making some large blanket statements that weren't accurate, and I just simply said, well, it depends on the woman. I felt like that wasn't controversial. I felt like that was a pretty level-headed, you know? It does, actually. It does depend on the woman. Sorry, guys. My voice is still shot from this cold that I had last week, so bear with me during this episode. But anyways, this woman was pretty upset that I dared bring up the fact that all women experience things differently, which I thought was too bad. Because I feel like we need a few things to have this discussion. One, we need a general understanding of hormones and why some women are affected as far as strength, why others aren't, what population does this impact more than others. And then also just a general recognition that every single individual is different. And the way that each woman responds to hormonal changes in their body is actually quite different too. Now, if you're a coach who has worked with hundreds of women, this isn't a shocker. This is just, well, yeah, everyone's an individual. Studies view things in generalities. It's looking at and making generalized statements. It's not about the N of one. It's not about the individual. it's looking at just generalizing the masses. What are we seeing in general? So that's really good to understand about studies, because then we can understand how to properly apply them. But look, I'm really excited, because where this conversation in that post went awry, in my opinion, truly was, there were, one, women who were feeling very invalidated. These were women who were saying, no, but I do experience dips in my strength. And now you're just telling me it's all in my head, even though it happens around the same time of my menstrual cycle. But now you're just telling me it's in my head. I think women in general are sick of being told things are in their head, and having their feelings just being completely invalidated. But I do think that there is nuance in this conversation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a step back, and I'm actually going to do some light education on the menstrual cycle. And we're going to go over hormones and how they're influenced during this cycle. We're also going to be talking about specific populations. We're going to be talking about, okay, well, there's, what about women who are in their fertile years, who are not on hormonal birth control, who are experiencing healthy, normal menstrual cycles, okay? Because that's one population. Then you have another population. What about those women who are entering perimenopause? They haven't completely stopped their cycle. They are still experiencing some. So does this apply to them? How does it apply to them? And then you also have the population where they are on hormonal birth control. This may or may not apply to them at all. Totally just depending on the individual. Like I said, I feel like in these discussions that we often have in health and fitness, the individual is oftentimes ignored. So my job today is to educate you on some basics of the menstrual cycle, how hormones are influenced, and why some women feel dips and when they usually feel it. A lot of times when we have these conversations, women just jump to, oh, well, yeah, during, when I'm bleeding, during menstruation, I can't lift because it's uncomfortable. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay. They kind of jump to this idea of, well, their strength will be impacted by menstruation. That's actually not what we're seeing when it is impacted. So there's just these false ideas being thrown around about this whole thing. So let's start from the very beginning. Okay. Let's just look at stages of the menstrual cycle. So we have these different stages, and we have two main phases. The different stages, and I'm going to be speaking in terms of generalities, and then I'm going to talk about how to apply it to the individual. But when I refer to stages of menstrual cycle, we're just going to go by 28 days, because that's like an aboutish. Obviously, some women are a little less, some women are a little bit more, but I'm just going to go through it quickly with 28-day cycle. So day 1 through 5, we usually have menstruation. And then we, once that ends, we end into the follicular phase, somewhere between 6 to 14 days. Now the follicular phase, you can remember that, because that phase is all about prepping, preparing the follicles to be stimulated, to grow, and for that moment, that third stage, which is ovulation, that moment where the egg is released, and then you have ovulation. And then you move into the luteal phase. Okay, this can be longer, shorter, just depending on the individual. But the luteal phase can be about 8 days. It's actually in the luteal phase that is reported that women feel weaker. So why is that? Well, let's go through what happens to your hormones. I'm just going to be looking at this and separating this really into two phases. A lot of times when we're looking at the hormonal changes, it's just easier to say we have the follicular phase and we have the luteal phase. So in the follicular phase, remember what I said, we are seeing some rises in FSH, LH, and estrogen. And that rise is all about preparing that follicle to mature and grow this egg. And then it peaks. You get a peak of estrogen, LH, FSH. You get that peak and it produces ovulation. Okay. And then after that, once ovulation happens, that actually is what stimulates a then rise in progesterone. You see, during the follicular phase, you have estrogen, specifically estradiol, which is important to note because estradiol is, it really is like, it's the primary form of estrogen in your body during your reproductive years. It's the most potent form. And it's kind of like women's testosterone. We have links to muscle and strength. That is linked more to estradiol. Okay, so that's actually why during the follicular phase, as estrogen really begins to rise, well, what did I say estrogen was in charge of for women? We're looking at muscle and strength, actually an increase in contractile strength. So during the follicular phase, you'll hear people say, that's when you really perform for strength. Around ovulation, right before, you may be hitting PRs because estradiol, that form of estrogen, is hitting its peak, and that really has direct correlations to increases in muscle protein synthesis, contractile strength. Well, after ovulation, estrogen begins to go down and dip. Not flatline, but it's going down. And what's coming up? Progesterone. So like I said, ovulation is going to stimulate a rise in progesterone. Progesterone is interesting because it has some anti-estrogenic effects. Does that make sense? Estrogen and progesterone kind of balance each other out. And this is what people are referring to a lot of times when they talk about hormone balance. Sometimes I hear people on Instagram say that hormone balancing is a joke. It's not true. I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, that's tell me you don't know anything about hormones without telling me you don't know anything about hormones. That's a joke. This is just one example in the body of we need this appropriate balance back and forth because they actually have almost opposing roles that keeps the body healthy and balanced. So estrogen, like I said, increase in muscle protein synthesis and increase in contractile strength, and then progesterone rises. Well, what does progesterone do? Like I said, it has those anti-estrogenic effects, where it can start to slow down the rate of muscle protein synthesis, and women can feel a decrease in contractile strength. So it's at the peak of progesterone, which can happen. I mean, here's the thing. It happens at different points for different women. On average, you can say maybe it happens 5 to 8 days before menstruation. Maybe that's when you'll notice kind of an increase in hunger cues, right? Calories are the same. Nothing's changed. But all of a sudden, you know, the week before your period starts, you start noticing, I'm hungrier now. I want to be a little bit more snackier. Why is that? It's the rise in progesterone. So progesterone, estrogen, once again, they have those opposing effects. Estrogen, you can actually see a decrease in hunger because the actual hormones that are in charge of hunger, you see a slight reduction because of higher estrogen. It makes you feel fuller longer. Progesterone has those opposing effects where now you're feeling a little bit more snackier, right? So like I said, if you pause here and look at, okay, so estrogen is in charge of muscle strength. Okay, so when that's peaked, a woman may be all of a sudden hitting all these PRs. May is a really important word. A woman may. Some feel this more than others. Well, then as estrogen goes down a little bit and progesterone really comes up post-ovulation, then you have the opposite where peak progesterone can decrease that contractile strength. So this is where in the luteal phase, not menstruation, but the luteal phase, you may feel weaker. So this is the why behind it all. This is why they say, well, maybe during this phase, the luteal phase, you change up your training. Maybe for 2 weeks, you change up your training. Let's just kind of break this down now. Okay, there's a few more things to consider. I've already said, one, that some women feel this more than others. Some don't. And you can chalk that up to those that are on hormonal birth control may not feel it as much as others. You can say even that, well, some feel it more during actual menstruation instead of the luteal phase. And that typically has more to do when they're menstruating with them just feeling uncomfortable. Maybe some women's are really, really heavy. And so they do have overall lower energy levels. But when it comes down to this theory, the idea is the luteal phase. As soon as progesterone peaks, that's when you're going to feel your weakest. So another interesting thing, I'm just going to throw, so take all of that information, just kind of put it up on the shelf now. And let me kind of go into in a little bit different direction. So when they look at healthy fertility years, women, and they've tracked them, they notice that 20% of the time, and this is for healthy women with healthy periods, 20% of the time, even though they're menstruating and everything looks great, these are an ovulatory cycles, meaning that they are not ovulating, meaning that they are not going to be getting that peak progesterone. And these are during healthy years. So 20% of the time, even for those that feel a reduction in strength, 20% of the time, they wouldn't, because 20% of the time they're not ovulating. So it, and then also you look at Well, what about women who are in perimenopause, especially early, earlier on? These are women who they haven't fully stopped menstruating and they haven't even fully stopped ovulation. Usually when you very first enter in to perimenopause, you start ovulating less and less, which is, it makes sense now, right? Why a lot of people, a lot of women in perimenopause are experiencing estrogen dominance, especially at first, because they're not getting that progesterone from the ovulation. The body is amazing. It really is. So the early stages of perimenopause, and even throughout perimenopause, as they get more and more and more cycles that don't include ovulation, they produce less and less and less progesterone, but sometimes more estrogen as the body's really trying to force the follicle. They're really trying to force ovulation and prepare the body for ovulation. So that's why these women will experience estrogen dominance, and then estrogen comes down. But I mean, it's all over the board, really. In perimenopause, a few months you could be estrogen dominant, and then the next few months you're not. Maybe it's higher progesterone, lower estrogen. It's all over the place, right? So as you enter perimenopause, the idea of constantly changing your training, well, that doesn't even make sense for that population because you don't even know at what point what's going on in your body. You just don't. So early perimenopause, kind of pointless. And that can start happening anywhere between 40 and 45 as you start entering into that. So really, we're just kind of looking at this idea applying to women who are in their fertile years. But once again, not all women feel it during their luteal phase. Another thing to consider is that 20% of the time, you're not getting that peak progesterone. So you shouldn't feel a decrease in strength. Those that are on hormonal birth control, they can have a suppression of progesterone to a degree. So they wouldn't feel this as much. And it really just comes down to the individual. Do I think in practice, do I think it's practical to change your training for 2 weeks to try to mitigate any possibilities of strength decline? No, I actually don't. But it doesn't have to be done on paper. What I do believe a woman should be doing is listening to her body. So she doesn't have to rewrite her entire program based off of this 2 weeks. So if somebody has goals to build muscle, they're only lifting for, 2 weeks out of the, four. That doesn't make sense for somebody who is striving for body recomp, wants a little bit of muscle, fat loss. That doesn't make sense to change the whole programming based off of 70% of the time. You may, if you fall under that category, you may feel this decline. What makes more sense is when you do feel the decline, you listen to your body. So instead of going and shooting for PRs that day, you go in and you just listen to your body. You lower the weight a little bit, you bring down the intensity a little bit. You still show up for yourself. Maybe that day you just want to stay in bed if you're feeling really tired. Maybe you decide, today was just going to be I'm going to go and walk. or no, I'm going to do yoga instead. It can be as simple as just listen to your body for a few days. Well, not a few days, you know what I'm saying. Because this shouldn't be impacting 2 weeks of strength. It really shouldn't. Here's another thing that's really hard too. And I handle it the same way as I would with this. Sometimes it can be as little as, I'm not sleeping as well. I'm under a lot of stress. I don't have as much energy as I usually do. Well, then let's listen to your body. Let's respect it. And what do you want to do? What would keep you moving towards your goal in a respectful way? So you don't have to go in and shoot for PRs. Maybe this week you're not actually seeing large progressions from your training or any progressions. That's okay. Maybe you're doing a few less reps. Maybe you've lowered the weight a little bit more. That's fine. Listen to your body. But the idea of changing an entire program and telling somebody, oh, only lift during follicular phase, and then during luteal phase, change your entire routine. Some people go as far to be like, only do yoga, only walk, only this or that. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think it needs to be this complicated. I really don't. And I'm somebody who studies the nuance and complications of program design. And even in my own studies, I've seen where people dive too deep, get a little weird in it. We've got to pull out of that. We've got to start teaching people to trust their body, to respond in healthy ways, to be flexible. Being flexible really is a strength. I've talked about this a lot on this podcast. So if you wake up one morning, I don't care if it's peak progesterone or not, and you are just feeling like you are dragging and you don't have the strength, maybe that day is just going to go out, going to get a walk in. Or, you know what? I really love that yoga class, that recovery yoga class. I'm going to go in there and just healthily move my body. I love the gym. I love lifting weights. I'm going to go in, but I'm going to go in and just enjoy the movement today. Now, I did see my friend posted a video on this, and he was talking about how some women will experience this reduction in strength. And I think he was showing his girlfriend, and she usually uses like a 50-pound dumbbell, and he hands her a 5-pound, says, here, do it with this instead. And I really laughed at that because I really like the guy. He's awesome. But I laughed at that and I was like, okay, well, we're not feeling it that much. I mean, come on. We don't go from 50 pounds to 5. Like, that's not what we're doing here. But maybe it's 50 pounds to 40 or 35. And I really think that that's all it needs to be is, do you know what, today could be peak estrogen, but I didn't get enough sleep last night and I'm not feeling like I can push and progress more than I did last week or the week before, but I'm still going to keep my habit alive of showing up for myself. And so I'm going to choose a way to show up for myself that honors how I feel, recognizes that, and I'm still taking care of my mind and my body. That's it. Now, I know there are some women that are not going to like this. Nuance and flexibility and saying that all women, you know, handle things differently. Some people don't like that. Some people are even under the illusion that if a woman lifts weights during the luteal phase, that they'll gain weight. Like, no, they. I don't know where you're getting that one from. That was somebody's argument on that menopause. Like, that's just a little bit weird, but nobody's gaining weight from continuing to lift in the gym during their luteal phase. If they're gaining weight due to peak progesterone, it's because they're feeling an increase in hunger and they're eating more. That's what it's coming down to. So in conclusion, some women feel a decline in their strength. They've got to listen to their body during that time. It's usually not for half of the month, so don't worry about rewriting an entire program for, you know, 20 days, 10 days, 15, something like that. Some women don't feel a reduction in strength at all. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter which camp you fall in. Because the truth is, all of us at one period of time, whether it has to do with our cycle or not, we're going to have low recovery, low sleep, low micronutrients. Maybe we pushed a little bit too hard and now the body is just struggling, recovering from your last training, and you wake up like you've been hit by a train, period or not, you know, luteal phase or not. Doesn't matter. We've got to learn to be flexible. Listen to our body. Find ways to show up for yourself that day, but in a way that is respecting your body and your body's needs. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Lifting Lindsay podcast. I really hope that this was beneficial. I really hope that you actually understand a little bit more about what's going on in your body. I wish that I had been taught more about the menstrual cycle and hormones and all of those things from a younger age. And I'm excited to continue to teach women about it on Be Strong, my training app, and the community. I actually have a mini course on menopause. And we are 3 videos in, and every month I am posting 1 or 2. It's just going to be a course to help you learn more about your body, learn more about the changes that are coming, or maybe the changes that you're experiencing right now. So you have a better understanding of what's normal, what's not. What's the length of this? What's abnormal? What can I do to enter this in a healthier way? And how can I mitigate a lot of these symptoms? Those are the types of things that I want to help educate women on. Anyways, I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next time. We'll